right. Well, if you have your Bible or your phone, whichever you got, let's do it. Let's open it up to Joshua 4, verse 8. This is a little long, but I speed read, right? Okay, so here we go. All right, so we're starting with verse 8. The Israelites did just as Joshua had commanded them. The 12 men took stones from the middle of the Jordan, one for each in the Israelite tribes, just as the Lord had told Joshua. They carried them to the camp and set them down there. Joshua also set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing. The stones were there to this day. The priests carrying the Ark continued standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything was completed that the Lord had commanded Joshua to tell the people, in keeping with all that Moses had commanded Joshua. The people hurried across, and after everyone had finished crossing, the priests with the Ark of the Lord crossed in the sight of the people. The Reubenites, Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh went in battle formation in front of the Israelites, as Moses had instructed them. About 40,000 equipped for war crossed to the plains of Jericho in the Lord's presence. And on that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they revered him throughout his life as they had revered Moses. The Lord told Joshua, command the priests who carry the Ark of the Testimony to come up from the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, come up from the Jordan. And when the priests carrying the Ark of the Lord's covenant came up from the middle of the Jordan and their feet stepped out on solid ground, the waters of the Jordan resumed their course, flowing over all the banks as before. The people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and camped at Gilgal on the eastern limits of Jericho. And then Joshua set up in Gilgal the 12 stones that they'd taken from the Jordan. And he said to the Israelites, when your children ask their fathers in the future, what is the meaning of these stones? You should tell your children, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you crossed over. Just as the Lord God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. This is so that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord's hand is mighty, and so that you may always fear the Lord your God. Okay. So I don't know if you know this. First of all, let me introduce myself. My name is Megan, and I'm just an ordinary gal who has an extraordinary God. Because I'm just, you know, really, just a simple girl, right? A simple girl. So just so that you know, okay, I really believe God's going to do a great work tonight. But here's the deal. I'm going to break this down for you. I'm not going to do the whole chapter. You have plenty to do in your groups tonight. But I am going to talk about these few things. God's faithfulness, Joshua and the people's response in worship, and to share a rock of remembrance with all generations. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. So the rocks that were chosen by the 12 men of the priests, what do you think that was like? If I know men, they're kind of a little competitive sometimes. And maybe when they went out there, they said, you taking that rock? Oh, I'm taking that one. Oh, that one's, that's mine. Okay. And they took them, but they were really heavy. And they had to put them on their shoulder and then take them a long way, right? So that was great. But this verse, I want you to look at that again, verse 9. This is the one I get all excited about. Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing. And those are the stones that are there today. That means they're underwater. Wouldn't you like to go scuba diving and see them? Yeah, because they're there. Where else would they be? They just go to the bottom, right? They just stay. But how interesting that he did one on land and right where the priest's feet were. We'll get to the worship part. That's pretty neat. Joshua planned worship because he knew that God was faithful, and he wanted to leave a future testimony. So think of all the duties that Joshua had that day. Well, let's see. He got up that day, and he said, we've got to organize a crossing. We got to unpack everything. I got to get the priests across the way. And then he purposed the whole time, though. As soon as we hit the land, Lord, we are worshiping. Yeah. Do you ever get really busy and you forget that? You know, oh, I've got my to-do list, God. Oh, and by the way, thank you. Praise you. But he's saying, would you stop and just let's worship? Let's have time together. That's kind of like on my heart. Lord is doing that to me. Slow down, Megan. Take a deep breath and worship. It's going to be fine. That to-do list is mine. I'll give it to you. No problem, right? Okay, so the Rock of Memorial was for a future generation so that every time they passed Gilgal, they were reminded of God's faithfulness. Every time they walked by. And it was also to comfort them and to help them to have courage. I have, you know, this heart that's for this generation and the next ones coming, that we need to sow God's word constantly into them. So I'm a teacher. I teach junior high and high school. And every morning there's a verse for each of them up on the board because I want to sow into them. But, you know, for those of you ladies who have children, obviously so important you're sharing with them every day God's word because it's powerful, number one. And number two, it's alive. And we want to see God do a huge change in their life. Moreover, not just them, but they carry it to your grandkids, right? The future, what's coming, right? Boy, do we need the word to be given to them. So he worshiped God. And how can we worship God? Well, worship is not just only singing, although we love to sing, but it's also, we should worship God when he answers prayer, shouldn't we? Oh my goodness, yes. When he answers prayer, when he reveals his love to us, do you get little nuggets of love from Jesus? Yeah, worship him. Thank you, Jesus, for that. When we witness his creation, wow. All you have to do is go like, you know, 10 minutes out this way and you can see his creation. It's called the ocean. It goes forever in your sight. Wow. Worship the Lord. But really any time, you know, you can worship the Lord in the grocery store, in your car, anywhere, anytime. The hard part is to slow down and say, I purpose in my heart, just like Joshua did, that I'm going to worship you. I purpose in my heart, I'm going to worship you, Lord. So worship can be sung, it can be spoken, it can be thought, it can be prayed for his loving kindness, for his deliverance, and even in the storms of life. Worship settles our hearts and our minds. I'm sure that morning was pretty busy for Joshua. He's like, did everybody get across? Okay, so the water is going to come back, right, Lord? Okay, priest, you got to get out of there. Yes, okay. And so once they were there and the water came, oh, Joshua's gone. Let's go worship, right? Sweet times with the Lord. Worship focuses on God and not on the cares of this world. It reminds us of that he is with us, and it strengthens our hearts to take courage and to walk in faith for what he has for us. So now, are you ready? We're going to go on a little rock excavation. This is a little bit different, so I'm just going to tell you who we are. First of all, we're referred to as dust and mud. Isn't that lovely? We're dust and mud, right? Okay, so let's take a look. Okay, Isaiah 64:8 says, yet the Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter, and we are all the work of your hands. We're clay. What is clay? Now, I'm a geek as far as science goes. So clay is basically water and dirt mixed together, and then it solidifies, right? Later on, it becomes rock. Kind of cool stuff. I know, nerd, right? But he talks about this a lot. I started finding all kinds of scriptures about this, you guys. It was pretty cool. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4:7. Now we have this treasure in clay jars, right? So that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. We are the clay and he is the treasure inside us. How about this one? Psalm 42. He brought me up from the desolate pit out of the muddy clay and he set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. He is our security and solid rock. So now Jesus, our rock. Psalm 118:22. It is the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. To become a cornerstone means that you held the whole building together. If you didn't have that one important piece, the rest of the pieces wouldn't fit. But as we look at this verse, it says that the builders rejected him, our Jesus. 1 Peter 2:6, look, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and valuable cornerstone, and he who believes in him will never be put to shame. What a promise for us. Never be put to shame. He is our rock, and he is our redeemer. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my mountain, which, by the way, is all made with rocks, right? My mountain where I seek refuge. Psalm 18:2, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is the rock we build our faith on. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Did you know that rocks could cry out? Jesus did. He knew. Luke 19:40 said that on Palm Sunday, when everyone was saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna," the Pharisees came up to him and said, "Make them stop. Make them stop." And Jesus said, "I tell you, if you were to keep silent, the very stones would cry out." And I believe it. I do believe that. They would. Did you know the rock split in half on the day that he died? Matthew 27:50-51. Jesus shouted again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit, and suddenly the curtain of the sanctuary was split into two from top to bottom. The earth quaked and the rocks were split. See, I really believe God's word is every little bit as important. And that is too. It's the power of what God was doing. Right? Incredible. The greatest story, though, of all the rocks I could find for you ladies is the stone that was rolled away. Can I hear a hallelujah? Yeah. Okay, because think of it. It's the very rock that he created that was rolled in front of him. But he made it go the other way, right? The rock was rolled away. Death could not keep Jesus in the grave. And he gives us a promise for our heart, which is Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. What is our rock memorial? How will we share it with future generations? Through scripture, through testimonies of faithfulness of God. So I'm going to share one little rock of memorial of mine that I wanted to share with you about Christmas because I think it's timely. But it's about this manger story. My mother had this beautiful gold box that said Macy's on it. And right there, that was a pretty good sign. But when she'd take it off, all this tissue paper was in it, right? And I knew what it was. It was the manger set, right? So, of course, my sister and I would run to the box and I'd go, "I'm putting Jesus in." And my sister goes, "No, I'm putting Jesus in the manger. I'm putting Jesus in the manger." And a fight would ensue, and my mother would send us to our room, and she would put Jesus in the manger. But that night, I was so distraught. I thought, this is not right. Christmas can't start until I put Jesus in the manger. And so I was 6 years old, by the way. This wasn't last year. So what happened is I waited till everybody was asleep, and I was still awake. And I thought, I'm going to go get a drink of water. And I got out of bed, and I drug a chair up to the mantle, and I looked at that little thing, right, the little manger set, and I took Jesus out, and then I put him back in. I go, "There you are. There you go. Christmas can start. Now it's real." And I remember putting it back on the mantle, checking around, went back to bed, pulled the covers up, and smiled and said, "Thank you, Jesus. Christmas has started." And I'm sure that you can think back of those sweet times that you had at Christmas, remembering your first thoughts of, wow, Jesus is real. He loved us so much, he came. Do you know he didn't have to come? He could have just said, I'm done with them. I wipe them out. Why should I do this? Because of compassion that we can't understand. Because of grace he wanted to give us. Because of just his love that is unsurpassable for us to understand. He chose to come. And that right there was the beginning of our eternity. That's exciting, isn't it? Jesus chose to be in the manger for me and for you. He chose to be baptized in that Jordan where those stones were. Think on that one. That's pretty great, isn't it? Okay. He grew up and he died for our sin. And then he rolled the stone away and he rose. He chose to be the rock of our salvation. He chose to free us and cleanse us from sin and give us eternal relationship with him. And our response? We worship and adore him. Like the woman who's at his feet weeping and drying his feet with her hair, we worship him. Like Mary who sat at his feet, unfettered with cares of the world, we worship him. Like the shepherds, like the wise men and the angels, we worship him. And like the future, the 24 elders who will night and day sing in front of his throne, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain and has redeemed us by his blood to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." What is our rock memorial today? It is the first day you chose to be his, and he you. 1 Samuel 2:2, no one is holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you. We worship you and thank you so for being our Savior, our Redeemer, the one who would come to sacrifice all so that we might have eternal life. So, Lord, I pray, Jesus, that would be in our hearts constantly to share with others. And I also pray, Lord, for any women here today who have really struggled with their relationship with you, would you encourage them, Lord, tonight, that you want to be with them, that you want to hold them and love them? Lord, that you would love to have a relationship with them restored. Lord, if we have any ladies in here who do not know you tonight, Lord Jesus, open their heart to want to know you, and Lord, that they would receive you tonight. Thank you for being the rock of our salvation. We cling to you, God, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.